Hi, I'm Giro Farr from Blast Theory, and we are at Creative 50, a new initiative by Manchester International Festival. And I've just given a presentation to all of the lucky 50 who are taking part this weekend.
Fantastic, isn't it? They're all just going off to their various workshops, and they've sat and listened to some very inspiring projects. Can you give us a quick, rough kind of going over of the concepts?
Oh, yeah. I suppose I try to do a whistle-stop tour of the last 26 years of my life, which is quite massive. But I suppose speaking about sort of some of the things that we're interested in, and I guess most of our work comes from or is inspired by events that are happening in the real world. So it might be big data and sort of personality data scraping from the net. It might be the financial crisis. It might be, just trying to think, my brain's all over the place. Or it might be police going undercover surveillance and perhaps crossing the line as to what they should and shouldn't be doing.
Some of it incredibly edgy, and in some cases you say you don't do anything illegal, but the European Court of Human Rights were brought up at one point. Can you explain that project?
Yeah, in 1998 we did a project called Kidnap, which was around the time of the lottery and Big Brother was just coming out at the same time. And there were 16 men performing performing sadomasochistic acts where they video recorded it, and the videos got into the hands of the authority, and it went to the European Court of Human Rights, where it was deemed illegal for you to give consent for things to happen to your body. I suppose pain and to happen to your body, and that still holds to this day. So partly our Kidnap project was in response to that we aren't allowed to say, yes, I allow you to hurt me. And partly in this kind of world where lottery culture and you can do anything if only you win this giant check. And so you know, we thought it was an interesting time of tension and, sort of real stuff.
I imagine the tabloids leapt on this.
Yeah, I mean, it was really most covered piece of work we've ever done. And, you know, we did employ a PR company because we knew that we'd be dealing with the media in a very major way. And we also wanted to slightly play with that. We wanted to slightly mystify who was doing this thing. We didn't want to sort of play tricks, but we didn't want to... we wanted to do our version of it, and we wanted to put it out there where the real stuff happens. But without treating it lightly, it wasn't a glib kind of thing at all.
There was a very complex looking project, but probably more complex for the time that you did it compared to the technology and what's available now. But you did a live stream, should we say, all live streams are live, 90 minutes long, one continuous performance, streamed not only into a theatre but to the open web, and the production quality looked incredible. I mean, it was cinematic from the onset, from the clip you showed.
Yeah, well, I guess we've done a few sort of live streaming pieces over the years, and we wanted to make something that was high definition.
Unedited,
yeah. That was that was an interesting decision.
I saw a piece the other day done one continuous shot from a drone, but obviously the overdubbing and everything was incredibly hard to do. The audio quality that you had feeding into the stream at the same time, and the backpack system you had in place that was using bonded networks to ensure that you constantly had connection and constantly had power to a serious looking camera. Was that an in-house? Did you get certain people in the field that was just super good at this already, or was it an explorative kind of project?
I think we worked with people who were good in their individual areas. So we worked with a DP, we worked with a really good sound guy, we worked with professional actors, but I suppose the combination of the live and the film and the interaction, you know, there's not really anywhere that you can go to and say, can you do this for us? So we're trying to kind of combine and compile things ourselves. And, you know, one of the great things about working in with film is I now totally understand why there's so many credits at the end of film. There's kind of, you know, discrete units of people who have got incredibly deep skills that totally take it and own it. And it was amazing to us that, you know, we had this team who would just look after their bit. They would be there around the clock making sure it was fine. And, you know, we're not jacks of all trades, but we certainly skid across a lot of things. We don't go deep. So it was a joy actually to work in film. Complicated, but a joy. But no, there was no one to really go to. It was going to people and cobbling it together.
Was there a wrangler that kept away the people that might step into frame and go, hey, was it plain sailing?
There was somebody who, I think they might be called the gaffer, I can't remember, the person that is watching the back of the DOP. So as they stepped down off the pavement into a kind of car and onto the back of a bike. And so there was somebody looking after him. There was somebody, slightly suggesting that people should move out of the way. But there are people in the film who are just wanting to be in the film, who got in the film.
And incidentals.
Incidentals, yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Sort of that it was live and real when they're there. So, we didn't want to create a scene and have a fight with the public.
No, fantastic. Tell me a little bit about this project that's coming up. Topic close to my heart involving surveillance.
Yeah, so we're showing a piece called Operation Black Antler at Home the 7th to the 17th of June, and it's a collaboration with Hydrocracker, a theatre company based in Brighton, where we're also based. And for a few hours, you go undercover as a police operative into a far-right situation.
Sounds like you're not trying to give any spoilers.
No, I'm not. No. I'm trying not to give any spoilers.
Have you got a URL?
Well, I think if you go to blasttheory.co.uk/Operation Black Antler, or you go to Holmes' website, you'll come across it. It's a kind of crazy piece of work where what you do or don't do, it's kind of subtle in a way. In a way, it's really subtle, and it's not as scary, perhaps, as people think. It actually comes down to some really fundamental things about the way we talk and whether we can go up to somebody and start a conversation. It's almost that.
Any danger of people being converted to the dark side? Or light side, depending on what your political persuasion be.
Well, I don't know. I suppose that's always possible, isn't it? And I don't think... I'm not sure that we can claim any conversions. But I'm sure... You know, I hope that it just makes people think about maybe a very strong-held belief, be that liberal or not, that there might be some extra thought needed.
To the ethics of... ourselves. The deep in bed, yeah.
Yeah, and ourselves and what we think we presume we know.
Fantastic. Well, thanks very much again for today. And I'm sure people are going to be taking the inspiration and some of the facets of the things you've done. You probably see lots of people copying stuff now.
Well, we copy lots of people, I'm sure.
Excellent. And on Twitter, you are also Blast Theory, aren't you?
That's right, yeah. So have a look and, yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.